Nan, last night, my middle child, said at dinner, she hates eating dinner. She just sucks at dinner. Like, she does good at breakfast and lunch, dinner. It's just so hit or miss. And she said, "Mommy, my tummy just hurts when I eat this food." I was like, "Oh, really?" She goes, "Yeah, and it hurt at lunch when I was trying to eat the lunch food you made me." I said, "Oh, what about when you had that Pirates video at Mimi's? It hurt then?" She goes, "No, it didn't hurt then." I'm like, "Oh, interesting. Interesting how it didn't hurt when you were having your like complex carbohydrate snack." I was just like, "Get out of here."
I know these 3 year olds, you just, I mean, Nan's four, but you can't trust them.
You cannot trust these girls.
Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Welcome back to Bestie Business Banter. Ooh, this has been a hot minute since we've sat down to record. And
I know, you just like had up. To have a baby and then take like 3 months off.
I know. And to be honest, I thought I would be back here recording like that week. I was like, no, I don't even know what hour of the day it is. So it's taken me a little bit to, you know, just figure out the schedule and figure out when my brain is firing. But that's really like none of the time. So
I know. Third baby really hits different too. Like it just does.
I mean, I feel like I heard people talk about that of like losing brain cells or their brains being broken. I'm like, no, mine really is now. I get it.
I think the most I've ever like related to my mother, like as like my childhood mom, is like the times now that I have three children where I call everyone the wrong name.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to hate when my mom would do that. And I'm like, she, like, how dare she not call me the right name? And now I get it. Like, I go through every person's name, including our deceased dog. And I'm like, who are you? Just come here. Like, just get here. It's not that I don't know you. It's that my brain cells, like, cannot find the neural pathway to say your right name.
Yeah. We've been laughing. I mean, I don't think I've done it that much now. I mean, we're 2 months in, but Curtis and I both were calling Francie Merritt. Like her, just looking at her and calling her Merritt. And he's like, sorry, she's just like the last baby I knew. That's the only baby in my brain right now. I'm like, she's also 3 and a half. And this is a different one.
Her own human. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, so for our business banter, let's just dive into it. You give us a little maternity leave update, and then I'll let you the people know what I've been doing, which isn't much. I've had a pseudo maternity leave myself without a child. So give us the update.
So how it's going, we are 8-ish weeks. I do feel like it has flown by. I knew that it was going to feel like that. I prepped a good amount to go into this. I had pre-recorded a bunch of podcasts, written a bunch of emails, did all the social media for you and me.
Whoop, whoop.
And so I was pretty much like 12 weeks out. Some of the things about 8 weeks. And so I'm kind of hitting some of those. Hey, I need to maybe start doing some work. I'm so glad I did all of that because, like I said, I'm having a really hard time with my brain and like actual just words. I mean, in our shared note, I wrote something to you that we were going to talk about, and I wrote sleep medicine, and I meant to write like melatonin, but I could not think of the word. Like I can't grasp at regular English words. They've just left my brain. So I thought, okay, during this maternity leave, I will spend time like creating a new resource. That's what I thought. Before I was like, oh, I'll have this like time to be creative. No, there's nothing in my brain to
that is creative.
That.
There's not one creative brain cell. You just created a human. Every creative brain cell went to the creation of a human being.
Exactly. I was like trying to type full sentences and I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. I was like, I give up. I'm walking away. So I've spent a lot of the getting back into things, just doing like really little check it off the list kind of thing. Like, I think I might be crazy for doing this, but keeping my counseling certificate for the schools, I had to do some professional development on the side. And that's kind of coming up this summer. So I've been like trying to check that off the list. It doesn't require that many brain cells. That's kind of how I look at it. Does it require that many brain cells or can I just use a couple of them to do this and check it off? So that's kind of what I've been doing behind the scenes. Nothing I really wish I did better or like could have prepared better. I think I just needed the time off, and I'm so glad that I did. But coming back into it, I guess I didn't think of like what the transition would like look like coming back in, because my business has been in a different stage each time, and then the number of kids and how old they are has been different each time. And so I'm like, okay, if I open up my computer, I mean, this baby's still at my house. I'm doing the back and forth with the carpools to school. I don't know that I pictured what the schedule would look like. And so I really haven't solidified that. And I don't know like what my new normal is going to be. It's just going to be a lot less hours, I think, just the reality of it.
Well, and when Arthur joined our family, it was such a different schedule, like you said, with like coordinating, like, you know, the middle child had to have a nap. You know, the oldest was kind of hit or miss on a nap, was doing more quiet time. Then I have the baby schedule, which is different from the middles, but I didn't have, you have this extra layer of the carpool schedule. That really is, when you have a school age kid now, and like we're on this clock to go pick them up at the end of the day, like yeah. It really does like cut your day. I personally didn't even anticipate in this season how different having a school age kid would make our whole life.
Yeah, I think it's just, that's a different drop off and pickup. The preschool is a different drop off and pickup. And then the baby sleeping and feeding time is a different, you know,
no one's on the same page.
No one's on the same time zone. And then, of course, like then add my stuff that I want to get done or I'd like to get done. I mean, that's fourth in line. Like it's, if we don't get to it, then we don't get to it. So we'll see how that looks in the coming weeks and months.
Well, and I feel like it looks like doing less things that require to bring in another human, like less guesting things, less things where you have deadlines that other people put on you, because you have too many variables now to control to get things done on other people's schedules, you know?
Basically, I'm going to give other people deadlines. So I have a virtual assistant now. So like I do what I need to do to get her the stuff. And I say, just do it when you have time. Like, I don't care when you get it done. I mean, there are a few things that have some timelines, but for the most part, she works pretty far ahead of schedule, or she's doing something for me that doesn't have a timeline. So maybe there might be more of that in the future.
I'm glad you have her. Is there anything you feel like you're like, this is something I have to get done at a certain day, or I need to get back into it by this time? Or do you feel like you can give yourself a lot of grace with this transition?
The podcasts are sneaking up back on me. I just recorded my first podcast that I needed to do that had a deadline coming up. And I was even just thinking today, like, can I take the month of June off? Or like, I've never taken a break for my podcast. So if we get to that point, can I do it? Probably. Maybe I would like re-air some old episodes or something. But really, when I look at my year and okay, I want to relaunch this or I want to promote this, I usually need my podcast to do that, but we'll see. I think I have a lot more grace for myself. Like I would just, I don't want to say I'd burn it all to the ground, but like I would just go MIA if I needed to. I like would hate to do that. But if it was for my sanity or my mental health or keeping my family alive, I would disappear for a while if I needed to. So
I feel like that's so good though, to be in that place. Like I remember preparing even for my first maternity leave when I was still teaching full time, and all of these other women I worked with who had like high school age, middle school age kids, they all told me, they're like, trust me, you would be willing to burn it all down the second you have a kid. And I was like, whatever. Like I did not believe them. And then they're so right. And then I feel like each kid like makes that such a more intense feeling. Like just all the other things just don't matter as much.
Well, like, for example, I think I had done my podcast for up to 12 weeks out, and I think I wrote my emails up to 8 weeks. So I knew there was going to be, I just didn't get to them. So I knew there was going to be a point where I needed to write an email, and you and I both send out emails on Tuesdays. And so I got your email and I was like, this is the week. I didn't do it. I didn't send it out, but I got on my computer and I sent it at like 3 o'clock or something. And I just thought, you know, it doesn't matter. Actually, people probably didn't even notice like that it wasn't there and that, or that it came later. And we all survived and it was fine. So I give myself a lot of grace for it.
Well, I'm really proud of you. I honestly, business-wise, not much has happened since we last talked. I've been in recovery, I feel like, from writing that chemistry curriculum. And honestly, I felt really guilty about that for a long period of time. And then I felt better about it and like totally okay with it because I
realized— What do you mean you felt guilty of like feeling tired from it or—
Yeah, like just feeling guilty like I should be doing more. With the time that I had. But then, thanks to therapy, I started feeling a lot better about it because I noticed I kind of dropped my work hours to being only working like 8 or 9 hours a week. And I was having so much more capacity for my kids. And it was amazing. Like so many things that used to be so hard for me or that would make me so angry or overwhelm me didn't, because I wasn't like burning the wick too close to the bottom, you know what I mean, before getting to my kids. So I feel like that's been a great realization of the last few months, is like in this season I'm currently in with these little kids, but one in school, like I really can't be doing the 15 to 20 hours a week with my current childcare situation. Like I need to do more like 8 to 9, maybe push it to 10. But then I kind of got bummed because I felt like I accepted that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to really lower the standard of what I'm doing, all this stuff. But then I just had no like creative energy at all either.
You weren't like, getting that momentum because you weren't working as much and right. You were kind of burnt out anyway.
And then I had a couple little things I needed to finish project-wise to kind of wrap up chemistry completely. And I started passing those deadlines of when I said I would have this done by and when I told people it would be done by.
And that's got to be hard for you, a perfectionist who never misses deadlines.
Well, and it is hard. And it's not like I feel like I have an excuse. Like when this has happened in the past, it's like, oh, I just found out I was pregnant. Like, or, you know, just there's been some reason. Yeah. And this was just like, oh, I just have been like a shell of a human.
Just, you don't have to say just. Like
I know.
It is what it is. And I mean, it's okay to realize that.
Totally. And I feel like though I'm getting a lot, I feel like I'm in a better like headspace about it and feeling okay. I have like one thing I need to finish of it all by May 1st. I've been chipping away with other things. So I finally, you know how I love to put my to-do list items on each day of the week. And I plan that every Friday. I plan out my next week of work time. And I actually am not going to, I'm not doing that anymore right now. Instead, I basically took this one resource I need to finish and I made the list. And then on the to-do list every day, it just says like Slack check with my team and then work on this resource.
Just go down
and
so your list.
Just go down to the next thing. So there's no pressure of like feeling guilty that I didn't get through it when truly I have so much time to do it now between May 1st that like there's no reason if that's I great. Eat away at it. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, and I think that's hard because you're used to being high capacity, like high functioning. Like you can do a huge project that takes a lot of your brain space because usually that is energizing to go back and be a mom, like when you come from that. But that has like completely drained you. And once you had a moment to like take a nap and take a breath, you were like, okay, now I'm really tired. Totally. But like still trying to push through. And then that stuff isn't super energizing to you. Like getting through the to-do list is now stressful. So it just carries over into your parenting when you didn't get done what you wanted to. And
right. When it shouldn't matter
to you.
Because like we're in charge. So like we can change all the due dates. And I think the other thing I underestimated the energy suck was all of these micro decisions as we're in the last like month or two of our build and just people constantly coming up to me being like, how many can lights do you want in your kitchen? You know, and you're just like,
I don't care.
I know, but it's like, you got to pick.
I know.
And I just feel even like the exterior white paint. I was like, yeah, I want a white house. They're like, which white? I'm like, I don't know. Like, so oh I think gosh. Those things have drained me more than I thought just because they're not my forte at all. And
right.
I don't want, and I feel like it's a high stakes situation because, you know, we're not
do it once.
Right. We're not going to be like, we're not the type of people that are going to like remodel our kitchen every 10 years. Okay. So like I'm committed to this for a very long time.
Right.
So that's been kind of draining too, but. It is what it is. We're moving forward and I'm ready to have some laughter with you.
Oh, good. Yeah, but we're not going to do a ton of business banter. We're going to get into the bestie stuff.
I know.
Want to support the pod and keep the fun alive? Consider shopping our affiliate links at our Amazon storefronts listed in the show notes. We make pennies off of these links at no cost to you. But hey, we'd like to think every penny helps. If you're interested in sponsoring the pod with your business, we'd love to roll an ad from you. Our audience is full of loyal listeners made up of moms, business owners, and everything in between. Send us an email at hello@bestiebusinessbanter.com and let's start that conversation. Now, back to the show.
Okay, why don't you transition us, share the review that you picked out to share.
Oh yeah, this is from, I don't know if it's Kenzie S18 or Kenzie's 18. I would assume she's not 18 as she's listening to this about moms and businesses, but she gave us 5 stars and she said, I love listening to Lauren and Rebecca. I binge listened to them on a solo car trip and I can't get enough. Their energy and laughter is contagious. The blood boiler segment is my favorite.
So glad, Kenzie.
Thank you, Kenzie, for that transition into our first bit of bestie banter with the blood boilers.
Okay, so ironically, I couldn't think of any blood boilers, and then I thought of 3, and now I can't pick between.
Isn't that how it goes?
Right. I just need to rapid fire these. Okay, first is how Venmo never pulls up the right person when you search. Okay, so like I needed to Venmo my sister. I'm going on a trip to New York City with my mom and sister in a month, and I had to Venmo my sister for these tickets she's purchased. I have paid my sister so much money in like the years of Venmo. I search her name and it's bringing up every other Sarah in the universe besides my Sarah. And I'm like, we're friends on Venmo. I Venmoed her 1,000 times. I finally had to like type in her exact username.
Right.
And then it finally came up. I'm like, Venmo, can you like use any sort of like analytics that Facebook and Instagram and all these social medias use to actually remember anything about me? Right. And it happens every time I'm trying to Venmo a babysitter.
And I can even never if you're like friends with them, they don't pop up in any sort of like order, or you would think that it would, because that's why I have friended people on Venmo before, so I can find them again.
Literally. I don't but understand how
I don't need to be friends with someone on Venmo though. Otherwise,
I'm like, why would Venmo want to bring up strangers to me? Do you want me to send money to the wrong person and then you have to like refund it? Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Someone once sent my mom money that they didn't mean to, like for like a child's soccer league or something. And she was like, what do I do with it? And she was very kind and she sent it back. But
that
I was
is,
like,
that is kind.
You don't get those kind of people all the time.
I know. So that like is annoying me right now, because I feel like it's something that comes up every week, and every time I'm like, this is so annoying. Another thing, which is house building adjacent, is when people ask your opinion for something and then they question your opinion. So like Mike, for example, the other day they're finishing the front porch and they're like, do you want the wood floorboards to be like parallel to the house, like horizontal when you're mm-hmm. walking up, or do you want them to be like vertical, like perpendicular to the house? And I was like, I want them to be parallel. So I want them to be horizontal. Yeah, and then they're like,
that's what I would have said.
Well, and then they start telling me like 4 reasons why that's harder. And I'm like, well, is it going to cost more money? And they're like, well, no. But I'm like, okay, then that's what I said. You just asked me what I wanted.
I said what I said, period.
Well, and what happens is I feel like our builder is, my husband like knows all the people. Okay. Elder Tom knows all the guys. Okay. So our builder is one of his guys. Our plumber, one of his guys. Our septic tank, one of Thomas's guys. Like, they're all his guys. It's great. I'm so grateful. But then it feels like more in these situations, it's like always them versus me, because they're mm-hmm. all buddy-buddy. And so like they come to me and they ask me this, and then I'll say something and then they're contrary to me. And then I'll be like, okay, Thomas, do you want to pick? And he's like, no, I want you to pick. I'm like, then why did you just question?
Put it back on me.
The choice that I just made. And so it's happened enough times that I finally had to sit Thomas down. I'm like, I don't know how to explain how aggravating this is, but it's like, don't even ask me then if you guys already want to do it some type of way.
Right.
Like if you're already planning on doing it vertical, then just do it and like I'll accept it. But like to drive over here and y'all ask my opinion and then to try to give me 5 reasons why it's the wrong opinion, it's like so frustrating.
And then it makes you lose your trust in them, because you're like, is this really what you think? Or are you saying it because it's going to be easier to do it this way? We had something like that in our renovation that I was like, I think they're recommending this style choice or the way this is laid out because I think it's easier for them. And I mean, again, like, I don't know that it would have cost more or whatever. And I'm glad we made the decision we did. But I was like, I don't really trust what they're saying right now.
Well, and that's what it was, the same thing. It wasn't going to cost more. It just was going to be more of an inconvenience to do it that way. And then how it came out was they did it right on the front porch. But then when they got to the back porch, I guess they had already kind of started the setup for it to be the other way. And so then they let me know that they were going to end up doing it that way. And I was like, it's fine, whatever. Like, I'm so over talking about this. And that's where I feel like my mental energy is getting drained. Mm-hmm. Because I'm having so many conversations like this where I'm just like, it's fine. And I'm sure some people are listening. They're like, you should get a better contractor. Well, we're getting a great deal because it's one of Elder Tom's friends. And so
that's where you sacrifice.
You get like, what you pay for. And
friends.
And we couldn't afford to build this house. And they really have been like great people. And we love them, love their hearts. But at the same time, like, I'm not at like a boutique. We're not getting like a boutique construction home. We do not have an interior designer. Okay. Like,
you are the interior designer.
Literally, me and my Pinterest board from 2007. Right. Okay. So like it's dark out here. All right. That was enough of me. I'll leave the other one for later.
Okay. The only thing I could think of right now was and I thought of it as we were driving home from preschool today, that Merritt, my middle child, is a hypochondriac right now. Everything hurts. She's got Band-Aids all over her body. And I don't know if it's to get attention. I don't know if it's, I mean, I remember Ellie being at a stage where she wanted a Band-Aid for everything, but I'm like, there is nothing on your leg. Like, and she's like, I need a Band-Aid. She got in the car today and said, Mom, my finger and my toes hurt at school today. God. I was like, did you do something to your finger? No. And she's like, my toes hurt. And then all of a sudden in the car, she goes, my toes are cramping, because she heard me say that before. And I was like, they're not. And then It's those. Oh, and then she got sick a couple of weeks ago. So she threw up all morning this morning. She was like, I'm going to throw up, and was crying.
And then you're in fight or flight because you're like, is she going to throw up?
Right. And it's hard. Do I believe her or not? She's asking, what happens when I throw up? Like, do I have to go to school? And I'm like, but you love school. So are you like trying to stay home from school? She said, I get to watch TV if I throw up, right? I get to watch TV on the couch. So she thinks, if I say that, then maybe I'll get to like rest on the couch and watch a show. And then the whole time I'm stressed because I'm like, okay, start carrying around a bucket. Are you going to start throwing up in that bucket or are you fine? And she's fine. I think I just have to assume she's fine.
I know. It's terrible. Nan, last night, my middle child, said, she was like, Mom, at dinner, she hates eating dinner. She just sucks at dinner. Like, she does good at breakfast and lunch, dinner. It's just so hit or miss. And she said, Mommy, my tummy just hurts when I eat this food. I was like, oh, really? She goes, yeah, and it hurt at lunch when I was trying to eat the lunch food you made me. I said, oh, what about when you had that Pirate's video at Mimi's? It hurt then? She goes, no, it didn't hurt then. I'm like, oh, interesting. Interesting how it didn't hurt when you were having your like complex carbohydrate snack. I was just like, get out of here.
I know. These 3-year-olds, Nan's 4, but you can't trust them.
You cannot trust these girls. All right. Hit us with some 30-second therapy as our resident counselor.
Okay. You and I started this conversation the other day of friendships and just how complex, I guess, they get in your 30s. Like, you have moved away from the college scene where you have either maybe your tightest friends from college, or you live together with people. You've probably moved out of, if you were single and now you're married, like, you're just not like living with your girlfriends, or like, you don't have the accessibility of your best friends, like sitting on a couch with you eating ice cream every single night together. So friendships
or
definitely
like,
change.
I feel like your young adult couple friends, like you and your spouse before you have kids, like the people that you'll like be like, hey, last minute, do you want to order pizza and like come over? And then if you leave work, you lose those work friends too, because you're staying home with your kids.
And then couple friends get complicated too, because like, do you have people that like both of you love the couple and you will like go out of your way to spend time together? And then do you have the time to put on the calendar to do that? Because like you said, like maybe they have kids, maybe they don't, or maybe you get along better with the wife or all those things like play into it.
And usually like, I feel like when Thomas is off of work, I want to hang out with him as opposed to be like, hey, you watch the kids so I can go meet up with this girlfriend. It's not that I don't like want to hang out with my friend.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm excited he's home and I want to be where he is too. So it's just, there's so many variables.
Yeah. One of my friends the other night said, she just like mentioned that she went out to dinner with another friend to catch up. And well, that wasn't even like the point of it. But I was like, oh my gosh, that's so fun. Look at you. Like, mom's night out on the town, like the two of y'all. And she was like, no, I don't remember why they had originally put it on the calendar, but she was like, no, I never do that. And it was so fun. And I'm so glad I did. But like, I never go do that because like, we have programmed things every single night of the week. Like, we don't have time in the middle of the week to go out. Me as a mom with another mom to go out? No. And I think you and I were talking about just like how hard it is, one, to have friends out of town. Like, it's like you and me talk 24/7, but we don't hang out in person. And so how easy it is to like get down on yourself and be like, I don't have anyone to hang out with, or I don't have my go-to someone to call up like when I'm spontaneous or have that free time or something. Or just like desiring to have someone to call your best friend, or have a group to call your best friends.
A group text.
Yeah, a group text to be on. Like, in different seasons, you can really feel that lack, especially as a new mom, as a newly married, as someone who's just in a different stage from your friends, or if you and your husband are different personalities. Like, Curtis would be fine staying home either by himself or with me every night, and he doesn't need that, and he doesn't feel that lack that I do, or he never feels left out of anything. I feel left out all the time because I just, that's something I desire. And maybe as women, we're just wired to desire relationships and friendships in a different way. But I mean, I imagine Curtis and Thomas are different in that way too. But I don't know. What thoughts did you have on that?
Yeah, I feel like you've been an encouragement to me about that. And Thomas has too. I feel like it kind of always comes up around my birthday. I have this because it's like, I want to do like something with my friends, but it feels like my truest, like soul connecting friends are all over. Like, I might have like one person, you know, here where I live. I have you. I have like my college best friend. Like, I have, and it's not like we can all get together. So then you're like, are people even going to want to come? And Something that's been hard for me recently, but Thomas really encouraged me with is, and I know you relate to this, Thomas is like definitely the more social of both of us, but both of us feel really passionate about hospitality. One of our core values as the Joiner family is come as you are hospitality and inviting people in. And so we've kind of thought it was funny because in the last like 9 months, we've been in this tiny rental house. We have had like the worst hosting space, I feel like, of all of our friends. And yet we're still hosting all the things like the Christmas Eve, the Easter brunch, you know, the movie night in the backyard, the Super Bowl. We've hosted all that stuff. And I was starting to take it like personally, like, why doesn't anyone else like want to host? Or if they are hosting, why aren't we being invited in? Mm-hmm. And Thomas really encouraged me. He goes, Rebecca, I feel like, instead of taking this personally, we just need to see that God has given us gifts to invite people in. And he's called us to invite people in. And if even if we don't feel like we're always invited, like that is not where our identity comes from. And I don't know, it's just like a really good challenge to me of like, okay, God has put Thomas and I together with both of our strengths kind of like work well together to do this well in terms of like my execution abilities, his gathering and socialness and like desire to always like host and have fun and do the things. And Thomas, another one of our family core values is like everyday adventure. Thomas just makes like the most boring things fun. And so I feel like that's been an encouragement to me. And I guess that's the 30-second therapy is it's okay for friendship to be hard. And it's okay to be in a season where you don't feel like things are how you want it to be and doesn't always have to be that way. And you shouldn't stop inviting just because you're not feeling invited.
The reason I bring this up and something that I thought about friendships recently was a friend who texted me just two different occasions, things that were really encouraging to me, like postpartum, that I don't even know that she knew that I needed at that point, but we were talking about like fitting into clothes and just like being a different body shape. Oh, I had told her, I said, you encouraged me after my last pregnancy, just buy the pants that fit, mm-hmm. you know, like even if you're going to Old Navy and it's a bigger size than you ever remember it being, like, be comfortable in your skin. Know what, buy the jeans that fit you. Like, you will feel so much more comfortable. And this time she was telling me she really branched out and like was trying different styles and stuff on Nuuly when she was renting and stuff. And she just was like encouraging about like body image and stuff. And then she sent me a text the other day that was like, hey, even if, you know, we're talking about sleep and like our kids' sleep schedule and having a new baby and sleeping through the night, like for every like two nights of great sleep that we get, I get a terrible one. And she's like, you're trending in the right direction. She was like, but even if your baby is sleeping through the night every single night from here on out, like still parenting is hard. And like, you're allowed to realize that it's hard. You're allowed to feel like it's hard because you're doing a really hard thing. And I was like, thank you. I like didn't even respond in the moment. And then like later when we picked up our conversation, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to even tell her thank you. And then I saw another friend at a baby shower this weekend. And we were just chatting, you know, as they were opening presents and stuff. And when I got home, she sent me a text and was like, hey, I just want you to know I value our friendship so much. And I just have so much fun talking to you. And like, it was like a very just out of the blue kind message that made my day. And I was like, I feel the same way about her too. And I think I forget about those moments or sharing that with someone when they are a good friend to me. Like, it goes both ways. Like if I'm going to get down about not being invited or not feeling like I'm a part of something, like all it takes is for me to
take
a message to the friend who I do feel that way about, or, and I think I do it sometimes, but you know, just with emotions and how busy we get and all that, I'm like, okay, this is your sign. If you're listening to this right now, I want you to stop and send a message to a friend that has either encouraged you or that just is a dear friend to you, and tell them that, because it went a long way for me. And I was just overwhelmed at how kind it was.
I love that. And I just think like, I'm trying to not like hold people to a standard of friendship when, like we said, we give ourselves grace in seasons. We need to give our friends grace in seasons. Like I have a friend that was like such a good friend to me at one point in our lives because we were geographically so close. And now we're not as geographically so close. And it feels hard because I get nostalgic about what used to be. But like that doesn't discount what we used to have.
Totally.
Like just because we don't still have it now, it's not like we had a falling out. It's just, you know, things have been harder. And I just think it's accepting the friendships that you have in your current season and not like resenting or becoming overly like romanticizing past friendships to the point of like being sad about them. Like it's okay, you know?
And kind of like with your work example before, like my capacity for friendships used to be so much, so many friends, so much time. I mean, it's all I did and all I wanted to do. And all, I had so much capacity for it. And probably in the last year, I have said my capacity is about 5 people. Like, they're the people I have pinned on my text in my phone, and they're not all, I think something that gets me is they're not all the same friend circle. And so for me, I can feel this deficit in having a friend group or a group chat or, you know, a girls group that's getting together, because all of my people that I have the capacity for, like on one hand, are all from different places, different worlds, different seasons. They're not all friends with each other. And so I'm like, no, I do have these like rich individual friendships. They just are a little bit more scattered. And part of that is me too. I don't have the capacity for these big friend group gatherings. People aren't doing that. Like, they're really not in our season, but I don't have the capacity for it either.
Right. It's so true. Okay. That was like 30 minute for therapy.
I know, but I needed it. Don't you feel better?
What's saving your life right now, Lauren?
Okay. I know that you have said this, that this can't save lives.
This is like literally a 30-second therapy in a previous episode, but it's fine because you're an Enneagram set.
But it's like what I need to save my life right now is like putting really fun things on the calendar. Like, and even though I do have fun things on the calendar, I was taking a shower last night and I was like, man, Rebecca and I should just go on a trip together. Like, I was like I'm just always thinking of the next escape to the thing I want to do that's fun. And yes, like, I have to do that within reason, and too much of that is a bad thing. I do want
to. No, but I think it really makes sense in your season of really mundane days, like your and nights, like long days, right. Long nights. Like, you extra need the like special things, you know?
Yes.
You're not romanticizing your everyday life right now very much.
No, it's a lot of the same day in, day out, and I'm tired. But we have, maybe starting the last month, the last weekend of March, we have so many things coming up, and it's not overwhelming because to me, it's like really fun things coming up. And even if it's going to be really social, I feel pretty confident having a new baby and doing this right now, which I would not have felt the first time around. But we are going to Dollywood. We are with our family and in-laws, because we have year-long passes or whatever, but we haven't taken advantage of them. So I was like, let's take advantage of that. We are going to Old Edwards Inn for our Christmas and anniversary, and like delayed. I mean, we're going to be six months past those things, but you know, new baby and stuff. We are going to, I have little ears in the other room and I don't think she's listening to me, but we are going to Disney. And I know you could care less, because that is not.
I care because I care for you, but I feel no sense of excitement or jealousy at all hearing you talk about that.
Well, and it was a spontaneous trip. It's not something that I thought we were going to do, and we were looking at our summer, and this is how I got to that. I thought, no matter what we do, we're going to be exhausted when we come back, because wherever you go with little kids, you're just parenting in a different place. So I thought, why not go somewhere where they have activities basically planned for us, fun things to do from sunup to sundown? And so we're doing it. We're going there. We have some friends coming to visit from Charleston. I'm going to go parent in another city in Bluffton when Curtis goes out of town for work. I mean, that's my plan if you'll still have me. Mm-hmm. We have a wedding coming up in Denver. Like, we just have so many fun things. And, you know, I don't know that they will not be stress-free. None of them. Yeah. They will all have some sort of element of stress. Mom will still be packing for everyone.
The night before every trip, I'm like, is this even worth it?
Right.
You know, because I just hate the packing.
Did we pack the pack and play? And I'm like, yes, it's been in the trunk.
Literally, shut up. I'm going to punch you in the face.
So I'm bringing that on myself. But to me, it's worth the adventure and like getting out of the four walls of my house to go do. So
I'm excited.
Those are lifesavers that I'm looking forward to.
I really can't judge you, because my lifesaver, what's saving my life right now, is escaping to my fantasy world in my Kindle.
Right. So if like you're going to judge those things of mine, I am most certainly judging.
I know you
those.
Are. So for those
about fairies and stuff,
I'm rereading ACOTAR, Court of Thorns and Roses series, for the second time in like 18 months. It hasn't even been that long. I read like 1,100 pages in 6 days, like an animal. Like, I've just been escaping, and I'm just so, it's just been such a nice little treat. I love it because it keeps me off my phone, and my kids know my Kindle's a book, so they're always like, oh, mommy's, you know, reading or whatever. My youngest, like, who's almost 2, really likes to play with me in the room but not with me, which I really appreciate. And so I can just be with him, and he's so tickled that I'm right there, but he's not like expecting me to, like, you know, imaginative play, which I hate doing with my older kids. So I've been doing that. It's been so fun. I look forward to it every night. like adjacent to that, reading books is like this past year, I treated myself to Book of the Month again, which I've had in past years. And if you don't know what it is, you basically pay a monthly subscription. And then at the start of every month, they give you like 5 or 6 book options and you pick one and they send it to you and it like uses your monthly, you know, token or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're great because you get a lot of new releases and you get exposed to books you wouldn't have been exposed to before. And it, I don't know, there's just something really exciting. It makes like the mail exciting because you're not just getting bills, you get your book in the mail.
Adjacent to that, did you know that, have you done the thing on Amazon where at the beginning of the month, they let you pick out a book for free and there's like 8 or 10 genres. There's one for every genre that you like. Have you seen that?
I don't know if I've heard of that, but I've heard of the Stock Your Kindle Day. That's like usually twice a year. Maybe it's once a quarter. I don't know about the beginning of the month.
I don't know if this is a new thing or what. It's at the beginning of every month. I just happened to see it in my email, like in my spam email that I never check. And when I went to go look up the books on Goodreads, I was like, you know, trying to figure out which one I wanted. They didn't have very many reviews. And I gathered that these are all new releases that they give out for free. You must pay, you know, as the author to like get your book here. So that people read them and go review them. And I was like, oh, that's so smart.
Ooh, if you see that again, you need to forward it to me because I never see that. I love that idea.
I think I had seen it from one of your bookfluencers or something that you've shared with me. But they have all the genres. So like there's going to be something in there for everyone that you're going to find something that you like, or it's a way to, you know, discover a new genre, a new book or new author.
Well, I love the Book of the Month because I do read a lot on Kindle, so I can't share those with people. And so when I get the Book of the Month, I have the physical book. It's something I can swap with friends because I have a lot of friends and we swap books.
You have a lot of friends. You have a lot of friends and you swap books with them.
I don't have a lot of friends. I mean, I have a lot of my friends having to
like
read. Yeah. But speaking of bookfluencers, I have to give a shout out. I actually reached out to her to ask her to be on the podcast, but I couldn't find her email. So I had to do it through like her website contact page. So I'm about to like slide into her DMs. But her name is Katie and she's Beach Reads and Bubbly. And I can't remember how I found her, but she is just a delight. And I've enjoyed following her so much. I'll link her account in my profile. But she basically just like reviews books. And I feel like we have really similar tastes in books. She reads a lot of genres like I do, which I don't think a lot of people, you know, like a lot of genres, but I do and she does. And I just think she's hilarious. And yeah, it's just been a delight to follow her.
And I follow her too. And I mean, I enjoy reading because she reads all different kinds of books. So I like reading her reviews because even if I know my only genre I'm going to like really pay attention to is thrillers, I'm like, I don't care. She's at least reading those and she reads lots of books. So she has lots of opinions. I love it.
Yeah, she's really funny. And she does a whole segment called Brad's, which she calls Beach Reads After Dark. And so those are her like steamy novels, which I know is like obviously not for everyone, but I just like appreciate her and her humor on the internet. Okay, I think we should rapid fire through these next two so we can introduce our next two segments. So
perfect. This is quick for me.
Little luxury. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, you know, I'm a big fan of Lake pajamas. I got the Lake nightgown for Christmas and it has been such a little luxury as I have had a newborn. So in the first couple weeks, I was just living in pajamas and I would always have this on, which was nice. You know, when my kids just open the door, when like a neighbor comes by or something, like I've got something that the length is good. Like it comes down to like almost my knees. So it keeps me modest. But
yeah, no one's talking about how short the Lake pajama shorts are.
Oh yeah.
They're real like short. Underwear length.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like they're cheekies.
Even if you have like the maternity tops, which are longer, which I love.
The shorts are the same.
The shorts are the same. They are shorty short shorts. So yeah, it's add some modesty when I have a robe to throw over it. I was going to say I'm not wearing a bra. Yes, I am wearing a bra when I'm nursing because, yeah, we got to do that.
Support.
But I would say even now, if I, like, as I wake up in the middle of the night, I like throw it on. So I'm never cold. I like have these sleeves, but it's a robe. So it's accessible, you know, and I slide my slippers on and walk across the house. And I just love it. It's so cozy. I don't feel much more put together if I'm in my PJs, but in the middle of the night, it has been really nice. So highly recommend.
I am jealous of that. I'm not jealous of Disney, but I am of that because I missed this Lake semi-annual sale by like one day. Like I had the emails and I was like, oh, I'm going to get to this. And then like I got on the day after because I always try to get whatever like discounted fabric they have because I just love my Lake jammies.
Yeah. And you know, when you wash them, they don't feel as, I would say, like same, that Pimo cotton. It gets worn, but the robe, because I don't have to wash it as much, it's still so soft. It is A+.
I love that. Well, mine like really, this is like the definition of like bougie banter is I got a lip mask from a Favorite Things party I went to. It's like a belated Galentine's at the end of February. And essentially it's like has this little brush and you put it on your lips before bed and you're supposed to sleep with it. I'll link it in my Amazon storefront in the like mentioned in the podcast, you know, category, but it's this Laneige. I don't know how to say the brand, lip sleeping mask, but you basically just like coat it on. It has a flavor. It's giving like Vaseline feeling, but not as greasy. But then you wake up and your lips are just like supple. I'm like, Thomas, do you want to kiss my lips this morning? Like they're soft and not cracked. And I wear lipstick 2 times a week if we go on a date and if we go to church. So like if I have lipstick on, Nan's like, are you going on a date? Or are you going to church? And now, but I feel like sometimes my lipstick like pills because my lips are dry, but it hasn't been doing that because of my bougie lip mask. So it's just
I went to the dermatologist for my annual appointment a couple of weeks ago and my lips are really chapped. And the dermatologist was like, okay, what are we doing for our lips? And you know, she's looking
and you're
at
like
skin
is
and
this
everything
in your area of doctoral expertise.
I mean, I said, I am trying to drink water and I'm licking my lips a lot. Is that the answer you're looking for? Try to keep them hydrated. And she's like, here's some Aquaphor. Get some for yourself. Here's some free samples. Now take care of the skin on your lips.
Yeah, I think the thing I like about this is it feels like it's more, again, like a mask than I feel like Aquaphor or Vaseline or whatever, like will almost like bleed onto your skin kind of like around your mouth. This feels like very much like on my lips only. I love it. So
you put it on when you go to bed. So it like is refreshing when you wake up.
Okay, I do not have an unpopular opinion, but this is one you have harbored for years, so I'm just going to give you this space to share yours.
Yeah, this is my unpopular opinion because it's coming up on the calendar again, but I don't understand the big deal about the Masters. And maybe I would care more if I watched Full Swing on Netflix, but I have not gone down that path yet. And, you know, people have since explained to me, which I guess has softened me a little bit. People have said that the Masters is this long-standing tradition and there's a lot of history behind it, but I don't know or care about the history or tradition, so I guess that just makes me not care about it. I also think it feels like it's this big exclusive event and you can't have your phone in there and it's hard to get tickets. But at the same time, I feel, and you know, maybe this just says something about my circles, but I feel like I know a lot of people who go to the Masters and I'm like, is it that exclusive? I don't know. Like,
I think that's I mean, because Thomas and my dad and my brother have all applied every single year and never won tickets.
And I think it's one of those things that like when your family has them, they stay in your family long time.
I don't know.
And what I've come to is that it just feels like a lot of people go because it's close to us in proximity versus someone in California, you know? And like, maybe I just feel like I hear about it a lot because we are closer by with it being in Georgia. I mean, you know, when it's happening, someone will explain to me like why they're rooting for this underdog guy or the youngest guy or whatever. And I'm like, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about all sports. I need a good storyline to follow along with, to have like the person to cheer for. And that's the only way I'm going to get invested. So maybe I do need to watch Full Swing, but I just like don't understand the big deal. People are like, let's have cheese sandwiches at home and watch golf on TV. I can't think of anything more boring than watching golf on TV, even if it's for a green jacket at the end. Tell me why the green jacket's important. I don't know.
So I will say I like completely have agreed with you for years until Full Swing last year. Okay. So this is a documentary on Netflix. If you all aren't familiar, it's a sports documentary. They follow professional golfers. And the way it's produced is so good. And it's one thing about me is like, if there's a storyline, I'm all in. Like, I am all in.
I do like a sports documentary, a 30 for 30. It's something that Curtis and I like watching together. Everything except the Formula One, because you know those car sounds are sending
me. I know. I can't do that. But the reason I love it is like, since I don't keep up with golf, when the new season just aired and it's all about the 2023 golf year, I didn't watch any of those tournaments. So for me, every episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, like who won this one? And Thomas is just like sitting there like, okay, I watched
That's how I am about all sports documentaries. When we watched the Johnny Manziel one, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like Lauren, so invested in the drama. And Curtis goes, you don't know what happened?
Lauren, like, when we watched The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary about the Dream Team and how they had like their three-peat. I was like, Thomas, they won it 3 years in a row? He's like, Rebecca, this is like the most iconic thing of our childhood. I was like, yeah, but I was like six and like obviously playing
dancing.
Like I wasn't, you know, doing this. But I've just like absolutely adored Full Swing, so much to the point that we actually have a PGA tournament in Hilton Head, which is close-ish to where I live now. And we went last year. We did a full day date at this tournament. And it was like the best of my life because I knew all these different players' life stories. Thomas and I walked and followed them all day. We had an absolute blast. So much to the point that this year for my birthday, I asked my parents to babysit all day for us again and for Thomas to get his tickets so that we can do this little day thing again because I just love it. So, and I'm loving Full Swing season two because they're following some of the same people from season one, but also like some new people I'm getting introduced to. And yeah, it just like, it humanizes the golfers. Again, I'm still not like into golf, like in general, but
if I watch that, will I care about, will it prep me for the Masters for this year?
Yes. You're going to know so many more of the names that are like in it. And I just think I'm never going to turn it on, but if Thomas has it on, I will actually sit down and like maybe engage with it for like one of the 4 days of the footage.
Okay. I'm not against that. So I might tune into that. Okay, we've got two new segments that we wanted to introduce just because there are some things that we have been pursuing in terms of personal, spiritual, emotional, you know, physical journeys for us. So we're going to have a new journeys segment so that we can come back and check back in. If we bring up a topic and it requires revisiting because maybe we're either testing out a product or we are trying a new hobby or a new habit, and we need to come back and talk about it, we need to discuss our journey. And so here's our quick new journeys segment. So we both were trying some new curly hair journey, hair product journey. So we could talk about that first.
Yeah, I feel like I have been, I'm over a year now that I haven't used like a straightener on my hair.
That's incredible.
I know.
I've had the same Qi hair straightener since 2005, probably.
Listen to me right now. When mine died a year ago, the outrage I felt, and then I realized I literally got it for like senior year of high school, 2008. And I was like, oh, this is like 15. How old is that? I can't even do the math. 16 like, years old.
How is Qi doing right now? Because I've bought two products from them and I've never had to buy anything else.
Literally in and two decades, I bought two straighteners. I'm proud of them. I'm grateful for their product. But anyway, I basically just was like, I just want to like embrace, you know, my existing hair as is. I tried just a bunch of different things, the curly girl hair method, like all these different things I learned from Instagram. And finally, I just went to a like person who cuts people's hair with curly hair.
Yeah.
And she was a Gen Zer and she just straight schooled me. But basically she said all the products I was using were trash. She said mousse is so 2010. And I literally was like,
yeah, when you use the word mousse, I like could picture the like Aussie purple
Tresemme. I was a Tresemme girly, flawless curls, but now I'm not. So now I'm an Oura Bay girl, and these products are pricey, but they have been lasting forever. I got all of these in January and I'm not even halfway done, but I'm using like all these expensive bougie products and just kind of seeing if her strategy and stuff is working better. I do think I have more to learn, but yeah, I'm kind of into it.
Okay. Well, I also have wavy / curly hair and have never like deep dove on a particular journey. But then I got a sponsored Facebook ad and I do click on ads that are curated to me because
targeted marketing. I wish Venmo would target market me with the people I want to pay.
Do the shopping for me. I don't have the brain cells to go out and find things. So if you can target me, I will probably buy your product. So pros has targeted me for a while now, and I clicked on the quiz to find my perfect hair stuff. And I was like, yeah, let me give you my zip code so you can tell me how the weather affects my hair and, you know, all the things. So I took my personalized quiz, I got my results, and I spent $100 on shampoo, conditioner, and some curl product. And
How's it going?
The product itself is very small. Ooh, I'm going to say
disconcerting.
Yeah. Like by the time I get to the end of it, I will say I like it just fine. It's probably above average in terms of things I've used, but it has not lasted me long enough to validate spending that much money on it. And I think I would buy the curl cream again because I really do like it, but it's like a pump. And I realized that like one pump is like a very deep pump. So I get a lot of it. And so I think, oh, I'm only using it once a day or whatever. And I'm actually using a lot of it. And so it's going really quickly. Mm. But I do like it. I would recommend it. Couldn't tell you what's in it because it was personalized for me and has my little sticker on the outside. So got no idea what's inside of it or if I could buy anything similar.
They're holding on to that proprietary information.
Maybe. They are. It literally says my name. It did tell me like the scents and stuff that were in it, probably in an email somewhere. But I wouldn't spend $100 on those three products again because it was not enough. But it was above average for me.
Love it. Okay. And the only other journey I've really been on is my naked mole rat summer.
Have you explained that to people?
Which I'm lovingly referring to this summer being. And that is that I am participating in laser hair removal. I had Not with a Groupon. So I did originally partake in laser hair removal in like 2010 with a Groupon, as I think I've mentioned on this podcast before, for my armpits. And it did work. But the thing about laser hair removal is you have to go once a year for like a checkup. Not like a checkup, but like they have to redo it once a year. Not the full like six sessions or whatever, but just a little touch up. That's a better word. So I never did that. So like that has grown back. Not nearly how it always was. I used to have the kind of hair. My hair is so my skin tone so fair and my hair is so naturally dark that I would like shave and you could still see my hair follicles like through my translucent skin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now like my armpit hair is so fair and it's so like just much lighter that like literally today I'm about to go to the gym and I put on a tank top and I was like, oh my God, I need to shave. But like I haven't noticed because it's just the hair is so much better there. Anyways, but now I'm doing laser hair removal. I'm getting a full situation here. I don't know if everyone needs to know all my body parts, but the new lasers are so much better than they used to be. People are still
using the old lasers places. So you have to do your research, right?
You have to do your research. I can't remember what the new lasers are called, but the old ones literally felt like someone taking like a super hot rubber band and like snapping it on your hair. Like exactly how you thought like a laser would feel. And it would be like, it would snap in like a nickel size radius. And so then they'd have to do it as many times as like, you know, where you are. Now the new ones, they almost like rub it on your body, almost like a deodorant stick kind of. And they put like almost like when you get the ultrasound gel on it. So it kind of like rolls, but it is very hot, but it's not that snapping feeling. So it's been way better, way less pain. And I'm super excited. Like we like rented a mountain house for winter, like kids like winter break with some friends and they had a hot tub. And it was crazy to be able to put on a swimsuit and be like, not immediately panic about if I could appropriately wear it because of like my hair situation. I was like, oh, I like literally don't have to worry about this. And living at the beach, I'm like, my naked mole rat summer is about to be my naked mole rat life. And I'm so excited.
So it will last. Will you have to get touch ups with this one?
I think it's December. It's either December or January. I go to the dermatologist once a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to like habit stack this. Remember. And like when I make the derm appointment, make the laser like touch up appointment.
Yeah. And so here's my question. Once they start the laser procedures, is the hair just gone and then they're like solidifying the fact that it's gone? Or is it like fading, 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 fading?
So your hair grows in cycles. And so you go back every like 4 to 6 weeks because that's kind of the different cycles of your hair. So each time it's like kind of killing a cycle of hair. So it comes back like patchier and patchier until there's none. It's honestly like really, and the thing I also love about laser is like different from like waxing is that like you can maintain and groom like the whole time in between. It's not like waxing where you have to like let it grow out. Mm. So that eliminates some like stressful like coordination in your head. And then actually before you go, you have to shave everywhere before you get there. So it's just kind of, it's been nice. And it's been a nice thing to do like in the off season before I'm in a bathing suit for the next like 9 months.
And how has it been going to somebody that you personally know?
I feel like I told her, like, I think I was the most intimidated about like the first appointment where I was like a woolly mammoth and had to do all of the shaving everywhere before I got there. Like, did I do a good enough job? Like, I'm doing herkies in the shower, like trying to get up in like all the crevices. Okay.
And are you what we talked about before? Are you forgettable or are you memorable when you go in there?
I straight up said to her.
And you don't know, right?
I said, I hope this is the most average, you know, interior design you've ever seen today. And she was like, girl, I've seen like everyone's in where we live, this zip code, you know? So she does it all for everybody. And it's been funny because I've mentioned to a couple people, the person I see, Tavia, shout out to Tavia. She has a very unique name. So if I mention her name, people are like,
you go to Tavia too? Me too.
Lasered by Tavia. Yeah. And so it's been funny because I'm like, wow, she really does like laser every single person's bikini line in this entire zip code. So it's been
And you
easier.
Live at the beach. So I bet like a lot of people are going.
Yeah. I feel like the first time was awkward. The other times haven't been bad. And I've known Tavia for over a decade and we love her. What's ironic is my husband led her son to the Lord through Young Life when he was in high school.
I think that's the funnier part is like the connection isn't like you and her were old friends.
Right? Yeah. Sometimes I'm literally like holding my ankles so she can like get in there and we're talking about like
sharing all the spirits moving.
The sermon from Sunday. And I'm just like, this is humbling.
Oh, so, I think that's the best part.
Okay, last new segment we got to introduce before I have to go to my kindy pickup for my oldest is a section called Gotta Gab About. Okay, so I just feel like sometimes there's just things we got to gab about, and there's not really like a category that it fits well in. So this is going to kind of be our catch-all at the end, what we got to gab about. And so, Lauren, why don't you tell them, we don't only have time for like one thing we got to gab about, but what's something we've been meaning to gab about with our listeners?
As we are thinking about this podcast, I mean, we were pumped to come back and record again. And, you know, our schedule is looking kind of sporadic here. But can we spitball some ideas about monetizing this podcast? Now, we're not trying to make money. It would just be nice to pay for our editor or to like have something to offset that cost. Remember, we do have Amazon storefronts, though I never put anything in mine. So when we get off of here, I'm going to go do that, create just a section for BBB. But like, we're just trying to like make some money to cover our fun hobby because our, you know, your husband has enough hobbies for all of us. So we're allowed to have this hobby.
Right. And he does not appreciate that we just pay out of pocket for the editing fee.
Same with Curtis. He's like, wait, why are you doing this? So I don't know. Could we have little partnerships or loyal members of the pod? Because I know that some of y'all are listening to this every week and get excited when it pops into your player. Could we have a happy hour Zoom where we are all getting together and we're all talking, or a Zoom like 2020? I don't know.
Right. Like you pay like a monthly fee to help support the podcast, and the people who do, the perk is we do like a monthly, you know, happy hour type thing where we hang out.
I don't know. We're just spitballing here.
If you have ideas, you can email us at hello@bestiebusinessbanter.com, and we can kind of like think through those. Or if you want to sponsor an episode of the pod.
If you actually want to be a sponsor, maybe you have a business, you want to hear yourself on here, we would love to advertise your business because we do have a great loyal following of people who love listening, and we would love to have you sponsor. I looked at some of the stats before I got on here. As you could imagine, we're mostly like, there's a big chunk of 25 to 35 year olds, and then 35 to 42 or whatever the next breakdown was, mostly women, like 95% women. So if that gives you any insight as to if you'd be a good fit for the show, we would love to have you.
We would love to have you. And before we go today, who should leave a review, Lauren?
Oh, don't put this on me.
Okay, what about the girlies who are also partaking in Naked Mole Rat Summer? You and I will know, but no one else will know.
You don't have to put that in your review.
You don't need to say it, but just this is kind of your push to leave a review. And then if you leave a review in the next week or two, Lauren and I will know, and we'll be happy for you. And we'll be celebrating and cheering you on in your Naked Mole Rat journey.
I'm excited for that. Okay, thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll see you next time when who knows when we'll record again.
Who knows? We'll see you TBD. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.